It is I, Darkseid. I command you to listen to the Who's Who podcast. Uncover the powers and weaknesses of the Super Friends so that I may destroy them.
Aquaman and Superman, Animal Man and Plastic Man, Firestorm and Nuclear Man, Batman and Hawkman, 2D Man and Hour Man.
Who are all these people, man?
They're all part of the DC Who's Who. Ultra Boy and Booster Gold, Lightning Lass and Hippolyta, Phantom Stranger, Etric and Arisia, and Woozy Winks.
Hey.
What?
What about that one guy?
What guy?
Mr. Pretzel, Mr. Lipstick, Mr. Mitzelfuzzle?
Mr. Mitzi's Pitlick?
Yeah, him.
He's also part of the DC Who's Who.
Who's Who, the definitive podcast of the DC Universe.
Available monthly at fireandwaterpodcast.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.
Welcome to this crossover episode of Radio Horror Tonight with Goth Girl Horror, the official Hack Slash podcast, where we cover the adventures of Cassie Hack and her monstrous friend Vlad. And tonight we're doing a unique episode, as we're not covering a comic book as much as we are talking about a Kickstarter campaign happening right now for the Hack Slash card game, which is now in full swing. And the creator of the card game is on the show with us, Jordan Pulaski. Thank you for coming on with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. But just one correction. So we're not actually doing a Kickstarter. It's not on Kickstarter. It's on another platform called Zoop.
So that's
where you could find it. Yep.
Oh, okay. But Zoop is a crowdfunding campaign thingy, right?
Correct. Yeah, Zoop is a crowdfunding platform. Really for anything under the Comic-Con umbrella. So we started with comics and graphic novels. We're getting into the gaming space now. We do graphic novels, art books. Prose and novels everything that you would find on other crowdfunding platforms. Our big differentiator, though, is that we're full service for our clients. So we handle fulfillment, we handle printing and manufacturing, we handle campaign management, all that stuff. And in this particular case for Hack Slash, we're creating the game. We've licensed it actually from Tim, and this is our baby. This is Zoop Games is presenting Hack Slash.
Awesome. Why a card game, not a board game?
This particular thing is a bit of a hybrid, to be honest with you. So this is a deck building card game, but we do have a board that we're playing with, and there are pieces that move around. So it's a little bit of a hybrid. It fits into the tabletop world for sure. I would absolutely consider it a deck building game, but it's not a board game in the same way that you have your pieces or icons that you're moving around. It's really have you ever played Marvel's Legendary deck building card game?
No, but I played DC deck building.
Sure, all very similar. So you have your action track, you have your marketplace where you purchase quote unquote purchase cards. So it's similar to those games, and the board just really enhances the experience.
Okay, gotcha. That makes more sense. What was it about Hack Slash that drew you to it? I mean, besides, obviously, you must be a fan of the comics. Have you read every single issue? Because it's not a linear comic book series, as you well know. It's a bunch of it's a couple ongoings, but it's a bunch of one shots, miniseries, and crossovers. In fact, they just announced a new crossover. They're doing Hack Slash versus Zombie Horror. What's the one?
Zombie Tramp. Yeah,
Zombie Tramp. Oh, I'm sorry, Tramp, yeah, Slut, Horror. I was close.
It all fits.
It all fits in the same category, yeah. And I'm not demoralizing anybody, so don't at me.
To your point, it's funny because we're fans of Tim. Tim's got a lot of great stuff out there, and we actually worked with Tim a couple of years ago. We ran a crowdfunding campaign for another title of his called Love Bunny and Mr. Hell.
I'm familiar with it being in the backup of every, because I own every floppy of Hack Slash, so I don't own any trade paperback. So that was a backup feature in done with, like, I think him and his brother, right?
But that's a good question. It's similar in that it's like all over the place as well. It doesn't seem like very much of a linear story.
That's good because I'm waiting for you guys to do Money Shot next or whatever, the Money Shot card game, which will be strictly for adults only.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that would be awesome. I love that series, too.
Very controversial.
Yeah, you
know, is it? You know what? You want to hear something very funny? Since we're on the topic of adult comic books, and Hackslash is an adult comic book. I wouldn't give it to a kid. But if they told me they watched The Walking Dead, I'd give it to them. Anyway, I digress.
Sure.
Of all the stuff that people moan and complain about, because we're going to broadcast this, so I would say the B word, but we're going to broadcast it. Otherwise, this is the podcast. All the stuff that people B word and complain about online, I never hear anything bad said about Money Shot. I never hear a retailer scoffing at it. Do they comment about the way Jim Ballant draws tits? Absolutely. But do they talk about Money Shot and the fact that it's a pornographic comic book in space? No. And I'm happy for that, because I'm glad that Tim doesn't have to deal with the tidal wave of the Karens and the softies and the butterflies out there. They're all so offended that comic books are not representing them correctly. They're feeling like they're being put upon, or maybe they're being demoralized. Okay, don't buy the comic book. I'm not beating you over the head with the comic book. Don't buy the comic book. But don't be a complete and utter butthead online about it either, just tearing it apart because you're not in it and you don't feel like it represents you or whatever your new complaint is. His daddy didn't hug you before he left for work.
Oh,
and I absolutely love that, you know, it's just it's a funny book. It's like Cherry Blossom. It's like the one, which, you know, funny enough, Cherry Blossom just guest starred in the newest issue or a few months back at least. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Yeah. Look, I'm so happy it's not getting any bullcrap from people online. And maybe there are, and I'm just not reading it. But let's face it, a lot of the bullcrap and criticism will pop up before you hear a good review.
That's true, too. But yeah, I mean, but you know, back
that's
to
my
Hack
soapbox.
Flash,
thank you.
Yeah.
I support creators in their comics. I don't care what's in them. You know what I mean?
Very much so. Absolutely. But yeah, fans of Tim, I love Local Man. You know, to your point, Money Shot and Hack Slash, and Hack Slash just really it's been around for 20 years. You know, this is the 20th anniversary.
Right.
It just seemed like there was a whole universe, a whole world to draw, kind of story and narrative from. So that, you know, there's plenty of material there for a game and expansion packs. And, you know, if this game is a hit, you know, we can continue making, you know, different versions and like I said, expansions to kind of go along with it. So it all made sense. You know, you have your heroes, you have a bunch of villains to fight, which is something that you do in the game. You know, that's like one of the big things is you have to defeat these slashers, these villains, and their minions. So it just seemed perfect, honestly, to kind of adapt into this format. And Tim's been a pleasure to work with, so it kind of just all clicked in really quickly, and it made a whole lot of sense to give this a shot.
Now, for Hack Slash collectors that might buy every single variant cover, I don't have the storage space to do that, but I'd like to go back and do that one day if I ever have the money, you know, to just spend that way. But I got to buy one issue of every issue that I buy. Every once in a while, I'll go eBay hunting for something. I'm like, oh, did I miss that? And I've almost covered every issue of Hack Slash on the podcast. We are now caught up to the 30th anniversary issue and the last miniseries that Zoe just did, Zoe Thorgood.
Sure, Back to School.
Yeah. So when I have a lot of money, I'll buy that Jenny Frisnet cover that seems to elude a lot of people online, you know what I mean, before the TV show and the movies ever made. That way, then all of the people go to eBay hunting down Hack Slash, and I have it all before the collectors start waking up and realizing how great of a book it is. But the reason I'm bringing up artwork is I'm wondering, how much of the artwork in the game is original, or is it being used from previous drawn stuff by people like Tim or Joe Lester or so on and so forth, you know, Albuquerque and things like that. You think the guy who runs the podcast could remember all the names of the different artists? I can't. I'm sorry.
There's too many, man. Honestly, there's too many artists. But no, I mean, all the artwork in the game is from the comics.
Okay.
One of the sort of like new things that we're doing though is we have two versions of the box, right? So just like you were talking about, like variant covers for comics, we're trying to help out the collectors in the gaming space here as well. So we have our standard game, but then we also have our limited edition blood foil version of the box. So red foil on that box, going to make it look real sharp, stand out on your shelf next to all your other games. So that's kind of like our quote unquote variant edition of the game.
Did that keep the cost down putting it together, that you didn't have to hire artists to bang out a bunch of artwork?
It wasn't necessarily about cost, but it certainly helps when you have all that artwork all ready to go. It helps with timelines and schedules a lot more than necessarily cost. That wasn't like the concern,
right,
realistically. But this type of thing, it's good to have like that familiar artwork, right? That's one of the things that people maybe almost look forward to when it comes to the game, is seeing something familiar, seeing something that they relate to or that they remember from the books. And it's just going to give like another touch point of, oh, this is for me. This is something that I've already loved, and now I'm going to love it this way too. So it was an intentional choice to go with the existing artwork.
I from what I've seen online, I do love the images that you have used. How many different characters do we have to play with if you're thinking of like deck building games besides Cassie and Vlad?
So yeah, you could play this game from anywhere from 1 to 6 players, but you are playing as Cassie and Vlad sort of teaming up together.
Okay.
That's who you play as, whether you're 1 player or 6 players. But you are, you know, you're trying to defeat Coach Dan. You're trying to defeat some of the Hell Dogs, I think that they're called. Now I'm blanking. What were the oh man.
You're talking about Pooch, the Neph demons that Pooch is from?
Yeah, the undead pets. Wild pack of undead pets.
It's very controversial on this podcast that I have said this multiple times. I'm not a Pooch fan.
Oh.
And I've gotten at
Understood.
Me before. I had people at
oh,
me.
Man.
And I'm like, listen, I can't like everything Tim Seeley creates, okay?
Yeah. Billy Brunswick is sort of the big bad of this game, if you remember him. And then we just announced our first expansion pack where the villain is Thick Sticks. So that sort of Kiss/Motley Crue kind of villain,
yep.
Who sold his soul for rock and roll. Yeah.
Correct.
So those are some of the villains that are part of the game. We still have a couple more expansion reveals that we're going to do throughout the campaign, and those are coming soon.
excuse me. Is Kat Kuro in it? Is like Georgia in it?
No, we don't. Yeah, we don't have like the support cast, if
okay.
you will.
The living support cast members. Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. This is just Cassie and Vlad. Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone who's crossed over with Hackslash appear in it? Like I wouldn't say Chucky, but other comic book characters like the Nailbiter?
No, not yet.
I mean,
this is something that, like, once we sort of, like, prove out this model and try, have a success on our hands, then it may be a little bit easier to go back. And the thing is, we'd have to acquire those rights as well. So one thing at a time, but yeah, we definitely have our eyes on some of those other crossovers that Hackslash has done.
So like expansion packs could come in the future.
Oh, that's the name of the game. Absolutely. And something with Chucky, something like you said with Nailbiter or Vampirella, like whatever we can do.
Oh yeah, Vampirella,
make it,
I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool stuff that can be done. So, yeah, we're interested in all that for sure.
As a horror fan, because you wouldn't make a horror card game without being a horror fan, wouldn't make any sense. What horror movies and comic books are you drawn to? Or you could throw TV shows in there, too.
That's a really interesting question. I mean, I love Black Mirror. I don't know if you consider that horror or if that's more like...
It tiptoes between two. That's like Alien and Predator. You know what I mean?
I gotcha. I'll be honest with you. Even though this is, Zoop is my company, we have a designer who did all of this stuff, and he's really more the horror guy. I love the comic, but I think that there's a little bit more of like a humor element to it that maybe I connect to as opposed to the horror element. But yeah, I mean, probably the last horror movie I probably watched was the original Scream, I think, to have a daughter, and we introduced that to her. So I'm not a huge horror guy. But I like the suspense and the thrillers. In terms of horror comics, man, Nice House on the Lake is, I think, done really well if you consider that a horror comic.
Yeah, that's got a sequel coming out soon. I just saw it in the new DC previews.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. No, that was something that I was not expecting. I'm just like, oh, a new James Tynion kind of thing. And I think I read like the first few issues like all together, and I was like, oh my god, this is crazy. So I really enjoy that one.
It's not horror related, but it's definitely more sci-fi related. I'm absolutely loving And I just finished the newest issue, Void Rivals number 9.
You know, I think I got, like, strangely duped. I'm not going to lie. Like, I started reading it thinking that this was, like, the introduction of, like, the Energon, however you pronounce it, universe, that I'm going to, like, see Transformers and everything like that. And I read the first few issues. I'm like, where are the Transformers? And I just kind of, like, fell off that.
Oh,
that
they're
title,
their own book. They have their own comic book.
I know that now, but at the time, like, when Void Rivals came out, I was under the impression that that was a Transformers book for some reason. Maybe that's my bad, or maybe...
No, it's totally fine. What's funny is that you say that issue number 9 on the cover is Springer.
Oh, okay. So now they get into Transformers at issue 9?
A couple issues later, they had the Quintessons in it. And in fact, this issue ends with an epilogue with the Quintessons trying to figure out where this ship that the two alien species, Solus and the other one, they captured. And their scientist says, oh, I found something. It dates back to ancient Cybertronian, and it belongs to Zerda Trion. And they go, ... And then they kill the scientist, being, that name is forbidden on Quintessa. Like, oh, what does that mean? Alpha Trion? Zerda Trion? Also, the name of one of the species is Zerda, Zertarians. And they worship a god named Zerda. It's a lot of mystery he's building, and he said, don't worry, it's all going to come together at some point. And everyone's like, great, you're going to have to buy every time. Yeah, more than likely, the G.I. Joe, Transformer, and Void Rivals are all going to come together at some point. Because in the Free Comic Book Day issue that came out, Hot Rod is looking for a Transformer that left Cybertron years ago that was trying to save the planet. And now we find Springer living on this, like, asteroid belt or whatever, under some kind of mission or something like that. And he's going to be helping these two aliens, because one of them got stabbed, unfortunately, by this guy that could fight Springer. He's like the size of a human, but he's able to fight Springer, because Springer brings out his sword or whatever. The guy catches the sword as soon as Springer tries to hit him with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. This might be an unpopular take, but when Game of Thrones came out, like, years ago,
right,
and I was behind the ball on that, and people were like, oh, you just have to watch, like, the first 6 episodes, and then it gets awesome. I'm like, well, I'm not going to, like, just watch 6 hours of TV not liking it, hoping that it gets better. And that's what this kind of reminds me of, too. It's like, oh, you just have to keep waiting. It's going to get awesome, like, really soon.
I don't know. So Transformers came out of the gate, like, crazy awesome. Like, there was no waiting with that. You know what I mean? Like, Transformers blew everything away. And I would love to see Tim, like, draw, because he works with Image, and this Skybound is an offshoot of Image. And I would love to see him, like, work in that, because he used to work in G.I. Joe. So that would be really cool to see him back in G.I. Joe. Because he worked with G.I. Joe with Devil Due Press.
Yeah, man, look, he is having a moment right now, Tim, between Revival getting picked up and working on Ninja Turtles meets Masters of the Universe, having a game out, having the Eisner for Local Man, Hackslash being nominated for an Eisner as well. He's having a good couple months here, man, for sure.
If Hackslash wins the Eisner, which anyone listening, by the way, there was a reason – for anyone listening that's like, oh, you're so off topic. I'm like, no, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Energon Universe. Tim Seeley really kind of came up in the G.I. Joe universe while Hackslash was a comic book nobody ever heard of except for people like me.
True.
Because he was working for Josh Blaylock over at Devil's Due Press. But I digress. If Hackslash wins the Oscar, they will make a Hackslash TV show movie, finally.
I would think so, man. I think with Revival getting picked up, that's got to kind of lead to, you know.
But how many times have we been here that I even have a whole episode called Hackslash the Movie, ? And it's me and Tim breaking down all the various times Hackslash has been tried to make into a movie or TV show.
How many has it been? I don't know.
I'd have to go back and listen to the episodes, at least 5 that I can remember.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
Yeah, I even had somebody at one point say to me he was the writer of one of the Hackslash movies, and he was going to come on the podcast, and then he completely ghosted me and disappeared. Didn't get blocked by him, just stopped responding to me. I was like, what the heck? And then he goes on some other podcast to talk about it. I was like, what the heck, man?
Eesh.
Yeah, anyway.
Hey.
But back to your game. What are the other games you've put out, by the way? So, because I'm not 100% familiar with your company, but I'm also the not biggest gamer. I don't really have a card or board game group of friends, unfortunately.
you know what? Like I said, you could play this game by yourself, and it's still super fun. So come and support it, grab it. But this is actually our first game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of wound up happening was we started in the world of comics and graphic novels. We worked with everybody from Dan Pinoggi and Howard Chaykin. We did stuff with the Jack Kirby estate. We did a Conan the Barbarian artist edition. So we have, you know, some really high-profile projects on the platform. And what we realized is that we, being a full-service kind of solution, you know, we have the manufacturers, we have the printers, we do the fulfillment. It was kind of a logical step to just kind of be like, oh, let's just do our own thing, you know? And again, working with Tim, having 20 years, you know, of lore and universe building behind it, it made sense to go with Hackslash. That being said, we're working on other licenses right now. So this is not the last game that we're going to be doing. It's the first of many. And the other ones are all going to be coming from the world of comics as well. I think because of our relationships with a lot of these creators and publishers, I should say, it's an easy step to sort of work with them in this new way to kind of exploit their IP for more revenue. Everybody's looking for new ways to make revenue. You know, the industry is changing a little bit. More and more people are turning to crowdfunding. And when you have someone like us who's willing to essentially create and do all the work to put out, you know, a new medium, a new format for, you know, a character or a title, it's kind of a no-brainer. So those conversations have been happening, and we'll be announcing more stuff in the near future.
So you just started the company, and then just this is your first game, or has the company been around for a few years?
Yeah, so the company's been around for a few years as a crowdfunding platform.
Okay.
In terms of starting to create our own content in the world of games, this is our first game. So
okay.
We actually launched the platform in 2021, so we've been around for almost 3 years now. We've done over 100 and something, you know, I don't know the exact number, 125, 135 different projects. Like I said, I don't know if you were familiar with an artist named Jean-Paul Leon who passed away a couple of years ago. He had he did Earth X for Marvel. He was part of Milestone.
Yeah, I am. Now that you mention those things.
Yeah, so he had a creator-owned book called The Winter Men, and that was sort of our like first big project that we did.
Oh, I remember that book.
Yeah, The Winter Men Artist Edition. So this is a big 11x17 oversized artist edition. It was essentially all the money that was raised on that crowdfunding campaign went to his wife and daughter, who when he passed away, to kind of take care of them. So we raised close to $200,000 on that, and that's kind of, you know, from there it snowballed, and we did an anthology called Comics for Ukraine that's actually nominated for a couple of Eisners this year. Scott Dunbier, who's an editor at IDW, put it together with covers by Alex Ross and Bill Sienkiewicz. We had contributions from Walter Simonson, Mark Waid, Dan Sakai, Matt Wagner, Kurt Busiek, John Lehman and Rob Guillory did some Chew stuff. So it was, you know, we've worked with a number of, you know, very high profile comic book creators. But like I said, this is sort of the first foray into the game side of thing. The game side of things, I should say. The website is zoop.gg, by the way. If you want to check it out, you can see zoop.gg. The Hackslash game is zoop.gg/c/hack/game.
Awesome. I definitely will. This game looks fantastic. I haven't had a chance to contribute to it yet. I was on vacation last week in Hawaii, and the month of May has been like dedicated to my
own. Nice.
It's everyone says that, but I'm just like, I'm not of the super rich. I have a friend that lives there, so that was just, it was just about me getting myself to Hawaii, and then I had a place to stay and a free ride around the island. So
that's the way to do it, though, my friend. Come on, that's awesome.
Biggest thing that was there for me was, this sounds so stupid, but it meant so much to me to check it out, because it's not an attraction that's got any label to it. You really got to do some digging and find out where it is. It's a public beach, but where exactly it happened on the beach is probably lost to 40 years of erosion. But the beach is still there. You can go visit it. In 1977, on White Sand Beach in Kona, Hawaii, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg had a vacation there when George Lucas thought Star Wars was going to be an epic failure because it only opened in 30 screens after Jaws, yep, Spielberg's movie, opened up in 1700. And
you know what's funny?
They were on the island. Yeah, they were on the island building sandcastles when they came up with the idea for Indiana Smith, which obviously becomes Indiana Jones.
I listened to a podcast called Blockbuster.
Yep.
And I think that they actually brought up that vacation on that podcast. That was a really good one.
Yep, I had heard about that prior to the podcast, so I was like snapping my fingers at the podcast when I was listening to it. God, I think that first season was a few years ago. They did the second season about James Cameron, and they said there's a third season coming. I don't know, but I digress. Yeah, that first season's been is a few years old by now, but I remember reading that long before that podcast, being like, yes, yes, that's awesome. And then when I was in Hawaii, I was like, do you know what's in Hawaii? Where Indiana Jones was born. My friend was like, what? Where? I'm like, it's not like a statue or something. You're literally just going there to look at a beach and go, well, Spielberg and Lucas were here one time or another, but apparently Justin Bieber's house is right over there, so woo, wow.
Yeah.
Roseanne lives on the island. Keanu Reeves has a house on the island, too, because he's from Hawaii. I was like, if anybody, I don't give a crap about Bieber, definitely don't care about Roseanne, but if I ran into Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. The one.
But my friend has copies of my book, Vlada, A Dracula Tale, where we gender swap the cast of Dracula, and all the characters are completely gender flipped.
Yep.
And I left copies there in certain bookstores, so, you know, like, if like Keanu Reeves ever sees it, you know, wants to do something with it, make a better Dracula movie than the one he was in, I'm totally fine with that.
For sure.
that's a little shade on how terrible his Jonathan Harker was.
I hear you, man.
But I digress. So I was like on vacation, and this past month I was trying to get all my projects done before I left for vacation. That wasn't going to happen. So now I'm back into my projects. I definitely want to support this thing. I've got like three different books I'm going to get finished written this month and then start publishing and printing. So I understand being passionate about your company and your projects and wanting them to succeed, because I definitely have a few of my own. As a comic book fan, yourself and us talking about comic books, something that I'm not selling necessarily, but I definitely try to spread the word about as much as I can, is Untold Legends of Comic Books, where we take people in the industry who have died and try to make them as popular as Stan Lee has become. And we're doing, we did an episode about Mark Gruenwald, and it's not out yet because I don't have a platform to put it on other than like YouTube, which I don't want to do that. We are working on a lot of people talking about Bernie Wrightson, which is becoming almost like a movie, and Denny O'Neill over the next two episodes.
That's very cool. Did you see that Dave Stevens documentary?
My God. Isn't that amazing? That guy inspired me.
That documentary. Yeah, that documentary, I think, is really heating up the market for his you know, his work. People are specking on his books big time right now.
I have in my book bag right now, right next to the microphone that I'm talking to you on, I just got it on eBay, The Cartoonist. You ever heard of this?
No, what is that?
It's about Jeff Smith.
Jeff's awesome. I love Jeff Smith.
Yeah, there was a signed copy on eBay, but I kind of hopefully want to meet him one day and just have him sign it personally to me. But yeah, Jeff Smith and the Changing Face of Comics about Bone. For anyone not familiar with Bone, go look it up because I can't describe it. It's a fantasy children book for kids. It was very popular in the 90s. And in fact,
it still is.
It still is? I never hear anyone talking about it. But I always heard like Wizard talking about it. And then years later, I'd go back and do the research and go, you know what was failing in the 90s when Reifeld and Lee and McFarlane were selling a million copies each of Spawn, which still litter the quarter bins right now? Bone was successful. And they said that Jeff Smith is the most successful comic creator in the history of comics because of Scholastic. And I'm like, even more so than Robert Kirkman with all the success he's had with The Walking Dead.
I think Jeff Smith's got to be up there because, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is Bone is multi-generational. Like, you might not be into it right now, but, you know, my kids read it. I have friends, you know, who are a little bit older than me, and their kids who are older than my daughter, they read it. So like it just keeps getting produced and keeps getting shared because it's for kids. It never goes out of style. You know, it's not like, you know, it's like a period piece in a way, right? Where those types of stories never go out of style just because, you know, it doesn't matter what time period it is. It's a fantasy. It just keeps getting printed and printed and printed in new editions. So yeah, it could be accurate, but I, you know, to your point, I'm pretty sure like a McFarlane and a Kirkman and a Stan Lee and a few other people are probably still more successful than
you. Right. And you could say Stan Lee, but he died not owning anything. I mean, he didn't own any of the characters he created. But I think they're talking about creator-owned, maybe. But yeah, I guess with like movie appearances, Stan made money. But we're talking about I think they mean like creator-owned, which I'm not. Which again, you really got to break it down dollar for dollar for dollar.
Because
then you throw in like, okay, do we also count all the money that Todd McFarlane lost in lawsuits?
I don't know. I mean, do you count the money he makes from his toy company, right? Like, is
right?
That,
he doesn't own unless it's Spawn. Spawn character, let's just say, he doesn't own any of the DC stuff. And that label is on everything DC. And now, supposedly Marvel, because he's made a deal with Hasbro.
I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you know,
how much you want to bet is coming next is the Amalgam characters are finally going to
awesome.
Get toys. Isn't that? Wouldn't that be great?
I'm looking forward to the relaunch of those books.
Yeah, that's right. The omnibuses are coming, which I'm like, everyone's like, does that mean DC and Marvel are going to work together again on something? And I'm like, please, God, yes. Do something.
You know,
do a Superman, Spider-Man, do an update of Superman and Spider-Man teaming up.
It wouldn't hurt. I mean, in all honesty, I feel like, you know, they did it back in the day because the industry was suffering after a big boom, and now maybe that's exactly what's happening
again.
The
industry is suffering right now. There's controversy left and right. I mean, I'm not opposed to controversy, as I said earlier, you know what I mean? Just throw out there your porns in space comic book, you know what I mean? You know, keep it, you know, out of reach for children and stuff like that. I'm not saying give it to everybody. And I'm not saying that people who don't have maybe some past trauma in their lives don't want to look at something that might trigger them, which is totally fine. But don't destroy it because you hate it. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between being a critic. I mean, I've read every issue of Hack Slash. On this podcast, you will listen to me talk about episodes of issues that I'm like, this was not great.
Of course.
So I can't be 100% Tim's a cheerleader for every book he puts out. There's stuff he's put out that I've never read before that I didn't even know about Rivals until the book got picked up. So, and I'm putting out a comic book myself, which is about mental health. And I know it's going to trigger some people. In fact, I can't wait for it to trigger people, but in a positive way, to talk about their problems. You know what I mean?
I hope so, man.
I describe it to people. I don't want to go into a big thing about it here, but I was on vacation, and I ran into a couple of kids that are kind of the target audience for it. One of them kind of looks like my character in the book. And I even said to her, showed her the artwork, and she's like, I can't wait to read that. Please follow me on Instagram. Let me know when that comes out. I would absolutely love that. I cannot wait to read that. And she introduced me to her sister, and she's like, my sister reads comics too. And I was like, you kids are the perfect audience for it, you know? And so I'm following her on Instagram and can keep her apprised whenever we finally get around to pick it. And she's all the way in Hawaii. You know what I mean? She goes to Hawaiian high school, whatever it is. So,
good luck with that, man.
So hopefully, and again, I want people to read it and get triggered in a positive way that they turn to the back of the comic book and see like something that's going to help them. Like we'll put in some charity websites and some phone numbers in there to be like, hey, does this comic book relate to you? Maybe you should call this phone number.
For sure.
So that's literally how I'm going to put it. I'm going to be like, I'm not going to be like, you know, if you ever experience blah, blah, I'm going to be just like, did you relate to this comic book? Call this phone number. Email one of these websites.
Nice.
So. But hey, man, plug where people can find you on social media to pick up a copy of Hack Slash the Card Game.
Yeah, absolutely. So on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, we are at WeAreZoop. You can email us hello@wearezoop.com. The link again to the board game, to the card game itself is actually zoop.gg/c/hackslashgame.
Awesome. Hey, man, thank you so much for coming on the show, Jordan. It's been a really pleasure talking to you about comic books and geeky stuff and your incredible card game, which I'm definitely going to be picking up a copy of, whether it's through the site or, you know, supporting my local comic shop when they happen to get it.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you so much for having me.